Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Please be seated. I think I'm supposed to hold this. That may be a problem. Okay, pin it on me.
Excuse me.
Okay. So what a delight it is to be here on this occasion of a confirmation among you and for all of us, because this is an occasion both Lori Ann and for the whole church, not just this parish, but for the Anglican Church of Canada and for all of Christianity, I would say. So it's just a delight to be here. And again, thank you, Liz Lindsay, for joining us. I like to take a deacon anywhere I go from among our many deacons so that parishes that don't have them can see at least them functioning liturgically. So it's really lovely to have you here, Liz. I've just returned last night from the Diocese of Kootenay, where they elected a new bishop and they elected one of our clergy. They elected the Reverend Lynn McNaughton as their next bishop. So we in this diocese are now contributing another bishop to the church, which is very exciting. So from our psalm, how priceless is your love, O God. Your people take refuge under the shadow of your wings. They feast upon the abundance of your house. You give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the well of life, and in your light we see light. Most of us think of weddings, because we just heard the story of the wedding at Cana from the book from John's Gospel. Most of us think of weddings as occasions that are in a category all by themselves. This is because weddings, of course, are huge, important events in people's lives. And I know this. I did that 3 years ago. I'm coming up on my fourth anniversary. And also it has to do with the industry that has sprung up around weddings, some of which you may be familiar with. And so some weddings these days require very special things, very special clothes, a very special setting, very special words, very special guests, and of course, very special food and drink. And when I think of the planning Eric and I did for our wedding, we were more focused on what we would eat and drink and what the guests would eat and drink, I think, than almost anything, as it turns out. So unlike most Anglican clergy these days, I've actually had a lot of experience officiating at and attending weddings. We now have far more funerals in the Anglican Church of Canada than we have weddings and baptisms. But we're going to turn the tide on that, just to let you know. Not that we will stop funerals. We won't. But, you know, we want those other things, too. So I, in that I came from the U.S. and was at a parish that attracted some a younger crowd and then an older crowd that wanted to get married. I've watched many, many couples make their vows with jangly nerves, shaky hands, and I'm not just talking about women, and trembling lips, you know, where they can hardly get the words out. I've seen men and women, young and older, stand before me in tears, yes, on account of their feelings for their soon-to-be spouse, but also on account of the pressure on them to make their wedding not only special, but spectacular, particularly for their family members. And yet, if we make our way through all the suits and dresses, through all the satin and flowers and bows, through all the questions and vows and blessings, through all the aunts and uncles and cousins and friends, through all the punch the pâté and the Pinot Grigio. Do you like that? Alliteration. I was an English major. If we make our way through all these things, what we will find right at the heart of weddings are all the questions of ordinary life. Questions that you and I ask ourselves every day. Questions like these. Who am I? Who am I committed to? And what is the nature of that commitment? Who is my community? Who do I count as family and friends? And how do I express who I am in connection to that community? Think about it. When you plan big events, all these things come to fore. And so thought of it in this way. Weddings are not in a category by themselves. They are instead intensifications of ordinary life. Events in a very concentrated and kind of pressure-filled time frame in which people show who they are and what they are about. And I've heard that as people plan weddings, you know, like, we don't want X. We do want Y. We don't want so-and-so there. We do want these people there. And this is weddings of all sorts. And so imagine this. Jesus, his mother Mary, and some of the disciples are invited to a wedding at which a couple is trying to express who they are committed to, and the nature of that commitment, who their community is, and what their connection is to that community. They're in the middle of trying to do that, all the pressure filled, when something unexpected happens. They run out of wine. Oh, my. They run out of the thing that, above all things at these occasions, carries the sense of celebration and joy they have in themselves, in each other, and within their community. They run out of wine. And so this morning, before we ever get to what Jesus brings as his gift to the wedding, I wonder, where are you finding that you're running out of wine in your life? Know what I'm talking about? I'm not being literal, although running out of wine can be a bit of a catastrophe in my house. Where are you in your life kind of running out of wine? Where are you running out of wine in who you are, in who you're in relationship to? Where are you running out of wine in the community or communities you find yourself a part of? Where are you running out of wine? And by that I mean running out of joy, running out of juice. For you see, without admitting that we are running out of wine, without an honest acknowledgement that somewhere in our lives our wine is gone, Jesus will have nothing to offer us, will have little to add to our lives. He will instead sit there, just like some other passive guest, not active because, well, why would he be? Why should he be? In this story, we see his reluctance anyway, right? His mother says, they're out of wine. He says, well, what does that have to do with me? And the mom says, bring the jars. She knows who he is. And so it's important, so important to have the courage and in some cases the simple and brash innocence just to say it. I have no wine. We have no wine. We have been out of wine for weeks, for months, even for years. To say it. For once we say it, somehow a new possibility may make itself available to us, a new presence that can give us access to our joy again in being alive and in being related deeply to others. This is not about happiness. This is about wine is joy. joy. But how does this happen? How do the joy and the juice of our lives, our relationships, return to us? Is it as simple as laying before the Lord of life our need and waiting for him to summon someone to bring over those stone jars full of water? And before we know it, we'll be filled not only with the very wine we lack, but with the best wine saved for last. So this is how I think about it. It's not about magic, this story. The story is not about magic. It's about a Jesus whose gift is this: his simple presence that unlocks a dimension of our lives where all the joy is hidden, where all that good wine is stored. This dimension where the joy can be hiding is not dependent on affluence, for this story is the story of the wedding of a peasant man and woman, a couple who would have had very little in terms of material goods and little in terms of economic security. So our joy is not dependent on that. We might think that happiness is, but our joy is not dependent on that. This dimension where joy can be hiding is also not dependent on everything going smoothly in our future. For in this story, Jesus, his mother, and his disciples have much tribulation before them. And we know this in John's gospel. This dimension where joy can be hiding is, I believe, in our ability to awaken to the gift of our ordinary lives and the potential we have of taking that, receiving that gift and claiming it, using it, and fully offering it in relationship to those we love, the same way that Jesus, the Word made flesh, did. This then is what Jesus is all about and what our joy can be about. Through Jesus, God inhabits human life and creates new capacities in us, in each of us, the capacity to live ordinary moments and to come to see them for the extraordinary moments they really are. You know about this. I had it coming up, driving up here, you know. You live in a beautiful place. It's breathtaking. I hope you still see it. You know, for me to get to drive through the valley and as these snow-dusted mountain peaks surround me is to move from I'm driving to a visitation to like, wow, and the gift of that. So the capacity to live ordinary moments and to just come to see them for extraordinary moments that they really are. The capacity to have ordinary relationships with people and to live into them as the extraordinary relationships they really are. Have you had that with somebody you've lived with for 20 years and you see them again as they are? The capacity to make ordinary commitments and to claim them for the extraordinary commitments they really are. Driving up, listening to the radio, I hear about people in their 70s and 80s offering themselves to be visitors to those who are lonely. This is a program in the U.S. And one of those men who participates in that say, you know, I was just doing this to get busy at this time in my life, but it's changed my life to do something for another where I lose a sense of myself and I'm just focusing on the needs of another. An ordinary commitment turned extraordinary. The capacity to live in ordinary communities and discover the extraordinary communities they really are. You're living in one right now. All Saints Agassiz. The capacity to undergo hardship and tribulation and in the midst of it to find joy. How many of us have had a serious illness, have lost a spouse, have been through a difficult surgery, and somehow in the midst of it, there's this joy that we get in touch with it. The capacity to savor joy, to offer it to others. And so this morning, people of All Saints, as we officially welcome Lorianne into the Anglican Church of Canada through confirmation, a person who just like us has and will run out of wine from time to time in her life. As we officially welcome her, let's remember that the God we worship, the God that inhabits our Anglican Church of Canada, and I stand by this, is a God whose presence transforms the everyday into the eternal, the not enough into more than enough, and ordinary water into extraordinary and excellent and joyful wine.